All right, we're on our fourth lesson, and on the attributes of God. We had two introductory lessons. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 23, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, we're going to read verse 23 and 24. And our subject this morning is God is omnipresent. He is omnipresent. And that simply means that He is everywhere. Now, this does not mean that His being, as far as you and I are, He's not in a central location, but He's so large that He encompasses everywhere. What it teaches us is that God and His entire being is in every aspect of every place. Amen. It's not that over yonder, over here, He is merciful, and then over there, He's powerful. But every attribute is in this molecule over here. And every attribute of His being, is over here in this molecule. He is everywhere. Fully, completely, perfectly. Jeremiah 23 and verse 23. It says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord?" And you know, at hand means something that's right there. It's within reach. It's speaking of a close proximity. He says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." A lot of people, they'll read this verse and say, well, how can God fill something and there still be room? Well, remember, God is a spirit. And we live in a world and we often look at things in a natural or in a physical and a temporal sense. We look at things in a terrestrial sense. That is, things that we can see and touch and feel and smell and taste. But there's a spiritual realm as well. That is, encompasses everything also. And so when we read this, that He fills the earth, we know that God is everywhere. One writer stated that God is omnipresent or everywhere at all time. If God exists, He must be somewhere. According to Scripture, He is everywhere. As He is not limited by time, He is not limited by space. Now, God's omnipresence defies human comprehension and stupefies man's wildest imagination. But we must always remember that God is beyond our understanding, isn't He? Amen. So many people want to fit God in a box of our understanding. Well, He is an infinite being, and we are His finite creation. He is unlimited, and we are limited. Now let's note, first of all, as we have and has become our preferred way of going about things, and let's define what we mean by omnipresence. And again, it's very simple. It means God is everywhere present at the same time. Now, I can't be, and I'm sure you've tried to do it too, but I can't be in two places at one time. And you just can't do it. And it's a very difficult thing because so often, it seems as if we're required to be in two places at one time. Whether we require it of ourselves or situations seem to require it. But only God can be everywhere. And He's not just in two places, He's in all places. He's in every place at the same time. Another definition is God fills every part of space with His entire being. A third, and I thought this one for those with scientific minds, all of His being is present in every atom, every particle, every molecule, in every infinite place. Whether it is an electron, a proton, a neutron, whatever that it may be, He fills every bit. I remember in school they'd have they'd break down the atom. You know, you've got the neutron, the proton, the electrons, and you know, you'd have the electrons going around. And I said, well, in between those electrons, there's the Lord. He's in every place. There's not one place he doesn't exist. And to think about, we're noting 15. We said there's more, but we're noting 15 attributes of God. All of them are right there in every single, the smallest thing, it's there. His perfect omnipotence is there. His perfect omnipresence is there. Every attribute is in that smallest space. And people say, well, I don't understand it. Well, you don't have to understand something to believe it. In fact, Scripture tells us that if you believe it, understanding comes afterwards. We believe it because it's what God says and it's what the Scriptures teach. And He gives understanding later. There is no place anywhere that does not contain the being of God in the fullest sense. Again, Jeremiah 23:24, the very last phrase, and again, this is a rhetorical statement, "Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." Every attribute of God is there because God is there. So He can't be over here minus mercy. Mercy has to be there too. Amen. Every attribute that God possesses, love, righteousness, justice, long-suffering, omnipotence, all of it is over there as well as over here. When God is said to be present in one place, He is not absent in another place. Used to be, and I don't know how they do anymore, but used to be they'd take attendance at school, and you know, the common answer was here or present, meaning you were there. And if you were to give a roll call about the Lord, He's always present. Amen. He's always present. Now, just to compare, turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. The Lord God is the only individual, the only person, the only being that is omnipresent. Revelation chapter 12, and let's read here verse 9 and 10. And I know we're familiar with, we've referred to it. We'd have to dig back a little bit, but we were going there in Job, and you remember God asked Satan where he was. He's all going to and fro and walking up and down in the earth. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is not here. He's not in your life when you're at home and you're in your workplace. And he's not in my workplace or in my home. He's not afflicting a church in Plant City and afflicting a church in Clio, Michigan. Because he is not omnipresent. Now, he employs others. Bible tells us that he took a slew of angels with him. He employs others. But he is not omnipresent, is he? In Revelation 12, if you'll read here in verse 9 and 10, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So we find here that Satan, like he was in Job, he accuses the saints of God. He accuses us to God day and night, doesn't he? And it's as if he appears before the bar or the judgment. You know, like a judge would call the prosecutor and the defense attorney up to the bar there, and he'd have them approach the bench. And that's what Satan does. He is making accusations. Well, he can't be there and here at the same time, can he? He is not omnipresent. Now, he is, as we said, he has power, but he's not all-powerful. That is Satanism. Well, he might be present in one place, but he can't be in two places at once, can he? Only God can do that. Now let's note, secondly, here we've noted our definitions that God is everywhere present at the same time. Let's note here several verses that Scriptures declare that God is omnipresent. Turn over, if you would, to the 139th Psalm. This is a wonderful psalm. Many applications can be made here. There's great comfort in the 139th Psalm for the people of God. And you think about these things and different times when things are difficult in our lives, or maybe you go through something, maybe it's expected, maybe it's unexpected, maybe it's health problems, maybe it's spiritual problems, whatever that it may be. This psalm is a tremendous psalm for all occasions. And in the 139th Psalm, beginning at verse 7, we read that the Bible teaches us about the all presence of God, and it's such a comfort to God's people. And I can say this, and I'm sure you can when you go places. Well, I've never been out of the country, because I don't really count Canada as going out of the country. But I've never been in a place like Peru. And we went down there. I tell you, it was a great comfort to go down there knowing that the Lord was there just as much as He was here in Florida. Because He's all present, isn't He? And we read in the 139th Psalm, verse 7, it says, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence?" And again, these are rhetorical questions. He notes the next verse, verse 8, "If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Let's read the next verse. "My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." So we read this psalm and you see that the psalmist David here, as he's writing, he says, there's no place that I can go and flee from You. And the only time anybody ever wants to flee from God is when they're sinning, isn't it? I mean, what did Adam do when he sinned? Well, he went and tried to hide himself, didn't he? But you look here at the Scriptures and David is saying, and imagine David, you remember David when he was appointed to be the king, he had been anointed to be king and Saul was trying to kill him and he was fleeing for his life. And then when he was king and his son Absalom started a rebellion within Israel and David again was fleeing, there was nowhere he could go that God wasn't there. And so as we look at this, and I'm sure you've heard the saying, you know, fear not tomorrow, for God is already there. Well, He's there too, isn't He? Time and space have no bearing on the Lord. The psalmist declares that wherever He goes, the Lord is there. Doesn't matter about elevation, doesn't matter about east, west, north, and south. Doesn't matter about time. Doesn't matter depths in the earth. God is there. We find as well that He speaks of the womb, that the Lord is there. Also, if you would, look over to the 35th Psalm. Psalm 33. And we'll note verse 5. The Scriptures declare that other attributes of God fill the earth. Since God's other attributes fill the earth, that must mean that God is in every place. If His power is in a location, He is in that location. If His goodness is in a location, He is in that location. In the 33rd Psalm, in verse 5, it says, "He loveth righteousness and judgment," or justice. "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." It's full of it. The word full means that it's satiated. There's no room for anything else. We talked to an individual. They went up to Maine and he was telling us, he says, oh, it's just gorgeous up there. And, you know, I kind of chuckled. I says, yeah, whenever anybody goes somewhere, it's always more gorgeous than where they live, isn't it? Everybody thinks, you go, oh, I go out to this place or that place. And there's people from place they come down here to Florida and they go, oh, it's just beautiful down here. It's always like people are just not content with where they're at. But he was talking about it and he says, listen, he said just the different things that were there, and they were out by the ocean on the East Coast, up way up north, and he was describing it to me. And you know, God said when he created everything, he goes, that he saw it and he looked upon it and it was good. Well, his goodness has filled the earth, hasn't it? We read this and we see, and not only that in creation, but we see it in God's dealings with men. God deals with men in a good way, doesn't he? Jesus spoke and he said that if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? And his giving of good gifts, as the Bible tells us, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. For them who are the called according to His purpose, His goodness is not restrained by location, is it? Because He's omnipresent. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's every place. He's in your home. He's in your bedroom. He's in the closets. He's in your bank accounts. He's in your internet. He's in your computers. He's in your cell phones. He beholds all of it. There's nothing that escapes Him because He's everywhere. We'll go over in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we'll read verse 27. Again, Scriptures declare that God is omnipresent. And we find that it's such a wonderful privilege. And you think about it, and as we'll read here, and we want to look at this verse, and we have some things we want to look at, but what a privilege to know that God is omnipresent. Do you remember there on Mount Carmel, when Elijah and the prophets of Baal, Elijah challenged them to offer a sacrifice, said, let's find out who the real God is. Is it Baal or is it Jehovah? And so the prophets of Baal built an altar and they began to cry unto Baal, and Elijah begins to mock them and he says, listen, maybe Baal's gone on a journey and he can't hear you. Realize the fact that God is everywhere, that He's never out of earshot. Never out of the sound of your voice. To hear your cries, whether they be audible or just merely groanings that cannot be uttered. In 1 Kings 8 and verse 27, the Bible says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Remember, we studied the hand of God, and the Bible tells us that He measures the waters of the earth out in the hollow of His hand. We're told in Scriptures that He measured out the stars by His hand breadth. And yet, we're told in Scriptures that the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, yet He is in every single place. The entire being of God is in that back corner, as well as in this corner over here. It's not that He's just so big that He encompasses everywhere, but His being is in every single location as well as over all things. Here in 1 Kings 8, they were building the temple. And the concept come up of, well, how can we build a house for God to dwell in? Well, again, remember, God has special places where He dwells with His people. He dwells within you and I who are saved. He dwells in the lampstand, in the midst of the lampstand, He dwells with His church, doesn't He? That doesn't mean that he's not omnipresent, but his omnipresence enables him to dwell specially with the Bible Baptist Church of Plant City, as well as Southside Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Grace Baptist Church in Melbourne, Sovereign Grace Baptist Assembly in Bosnia, Romania, Mount Hebron Baptist Mission there in Puchunca, Peru, and all of his churches. But that does not take away from the fact that he's omnipresent. The universe itself does not limit his omnipresence. I thought this was interesting. We think about how that there is three heavens and there's the earth. There's where we dwell, there's the earthly atmosphere, the first heaven, there's the second heaven, which is outer space, and there's the third heaven where God dwells. But you know, there was a day when that third heaven where God dwells did not exist. He created that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you realize that even the created third heaven, the second heaven, our atmosphere and the earth cannot contain Him? He encompasses more than that. Again, it's beyond my comprehension. I don't understand. Where else is there to be? Well, he's there. As he is larger than time, so he is larger than space. One writer said, God can no more be contained in one place since creation than before creation. Before God created the three heavens and the earth, he was everywhere. And then when he created them, he was still everywhere, even where they're not. And again, that's too much, as the psalmist said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. Look over in Isaiah 66. Again, Scriptures declares God's omnipresence. Verse 1. Here again, some specific things mentioned where God has a particular presence. But again, His universal presence, His omnipresence is noted. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Here again, we find that the third heaven is the throne of God's glory and the seat of His government. There He sits high and lifted up, and His presence fills the whole heaven. He treads upon the earth below at His disposal. Yet God is not limited to the earth below or to heaven above. He is present in every part of both in all His glory. I'd like to notice one thing, and if you'll turn over to Isaiah 65, Isaiah chapter 65, and that is God's omnipresence and salvation. His omnipresence and salvation. He says in Isaiah 65 and verse 12, therefore will I number you to the sword, and shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer, when I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. This can be said of every sinner. It can be said that we did evil before His eyes, and we did choose the thing that He did not delight in. We cannot hide our sins from God. There's not one thing that we commit that He does not see, because He is everywhere. So many times we think, well, I'm going to do this over here in the corner. But it's known, isn't it? Because God is there. The Bible teaches us that the light and the dark are the same to Him. Why? Because He's in both places. Just as God knew where Adam was and what Adam had done, so too does He know your sins, my sins, our trespasses, and our iniquities that we have committed, that we have thought about, that our hearts have committed evil and gross intentions within them. God is aware of all of our sins because He is ever present. You're not going to hide anything from Him. You might do some things that your parents don't know about, teachers don't know about, siblings don't know about, but you'll never do anything that God doesn't know about because He is always there. You won't hide a single sin from Him. Now, while this ought to strike fear into the heart of every lost person, let me say this. The fact that He is omnipresent is also a wonderful thing, because He is nigh unto you. The Bible says, "Call ye upon Him while He is near." In Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." While we are sinners, while we commit sins and God beholds them, yet He is an ever-present help, isn't He? Amen. Maybe you've heard the expression, "I'm just a phone call away." Well, such can be said of the Lord as well, because He is ever-present. And a sinner does not need to come to the church house. A sinner does not need to walk the aisle to call upon the Lord in order to be saved. As the Bible says, "Today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts." The sinner may cry out unto God to be merciful to him at any time, because He is always present. Fourthly, for you and I who are saved by the grace of God, the attribute of God's omnipresence is extremely important for the believer. We cannot carry on the work of God except He is with us. And in every time of temptation, every trial, every affliction, every sorrow, every discouragement, the Lord is with us. When God gave His charge unto Joshua after Moses had died, and Joshua was to be the leader of His people, you read in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, "Be of good courage," and He said, "For I am with thee." When He called Jeremiah to be a prophet unto Judah and unto Israel, He told him to comfort him in Jeremiah 1:8, Joshua 1:9. The words that He gave him to comfort him was that He would be with him. And when the Lord Jesus charged and gave His great commission to His church, He said, "And I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." And that has been a great source of comfort to His people, that He is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. You know, there's things that I'm sure as an individual, there's things that you do when you're alone that you probably wouldn't do otherwise. As a sinner, there's a lot of things we did because we didn't think somebody knew about it. Mm-hmm. As a child, there's things you did if you didn't think your parents were looking. And I'm not saying they were gross or full of lust, but just things that we probably shouldn't have done. Whether they were dangerous or harmful or what have you. As a child of God, His presence ought to be something that controls our conduct and behavior. Amen. Just like a parent's presence would. Because He is our Heavenly Father. And so there He is. He's always with us. So may the Lord bless the message. We'll have a brief intermission, and all you kids want to come up here, we'll do your memory verse and